888-914-9149. Let's go to Stephanie, whom I think I may know, listening in Torrance, California. Stephanie, do I know you? Did you go on a pilgrimage with me recently?
Yep, that's me. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, welcome to the program, Stephanie.
Thanks. Long time no talk. Yep.
I know.
Two quick questions about Lent. One is, why is Ash Wednesday not considered a holy day of obligation? And then the second would be, how come some people or priests say that Sundays can be cheat days during Lent?
Yeah, that's one of those things that I hear about from time to time. So let's take it in order. First question is, I don't know, but you're right that Ash Wednesday is not a holy day of obligation. So interestingly, many Catholics, they, I think, assume that it is a holy day of obligation. And even some Catholics who might not ever go to Mass or they don't go regularly on Sunday, they will make sure they get to Mass on Ash Wednesday and receive ashes, which is a good thing. I encourage everybody to do that if at all possible, but it's not a holy day of obligation. Now, the question, why is it not a holy day obligation? I really don't know. You stumped me on that one. Unlike, say, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, August 15th, or some of the other holy days of obligation, the Church in her wisdom has not required Ash Wednesday to be a holy day of obligation. And I really don't know why. I'll have to hit the books and find out why. Second question about cheat days. You're talking about whatever it is that you're doing as a penance during Lent, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay, here's the thinking behind that. The thinking is that because of it, the nature of Sunday being the day that the Lord rose from the dead, in other words, it's a kind of a re-celebration of Easter every Sunday, that by its nature, Sunday is not a penitential day. Friday is a penitential day. Wednesday is often considered a penitential day. Sunday is considered a non-penitential day. So whereas traditionally, most people, when they choose to give up something for Lent as a penance, could be alcohol, could be chocolate, could be dessert, could be television, could be whatever it is that they like, and they want to do without it as a way to mortify the flesh, they traditionally would do this all through Lent, and there were no cheat days. But, of course, water flows downhill, and so it's appealing to all of us to think, well, maybe I could, if I am giving this up entirely, I could have a cheat day, meaning that because Sunday is a non-penitential day, it's not appropriate for me to be doing a penance on that day, therefore I will indulge in chocolate or television or what have you. So that's the thinking behind it. Now, the Church does not have any rule. This is the thing to remember, Stephanie. The Church doesn't say one way or the other, you must do it this way or you must do it that way. You're free to do it however you wish. You're not even obligated, strictly speaking, to give anything up. Now, the Church strongly encourages penance during Lent, but it's not as though you are committing a sin if you don't give something up for Lent. You should try to do that. But I need to make that point clear. In other words, it's not like the Church has issued a strict set of guidelines on things that you give up or don't give up. Now, except with an exception, and that is something you already know, and that is on Ash Wednesday and all the Fridays of Lent, up to and including Good Friday, we are called to do abstinence and fasting. Now, here's the way this works. Fasting is for Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. So coming up day after tomorrow and then Good Friday. Fasting in this case means, at a minimum, you can have one full meal and you can have two smaller portions at different times of the day that don't together equal another full meal. That's the kind of the minimum obligatory fasting. Some people fast completely from all food and all liquid, or they have some variation. But at the minimum, we should at least do that. Then abstinence is also on Ash Wednesday, and then all Fridays of Lent, which is people who are 14 years and older, are not permitted to have meat. Now, by meat, the Church means pork, beef, chicken. And of course, if you're exotic, you know, rhinoceros or bear or bison, that all falls under the category of meat. You're not obliged to eat fish. This is the common misunderstanding that, well, Catholics have to eat fish on Friday. No, they don't. Catholics don't have to eat anything on Friday. But Catholics are permitted to substitute fish or shrimp, for example, in lieu of meat on Fridays during the year, unless you choose to do a different penance, and certainly all Fridays and Ash Wednesday during Lent. So as far as the obligation is concerned, Stephanie, those are the minimum requirements, and you can be more stringent if you wish to.
Got it. Yep, that makes sense. For me, I figure, you know, if you're going to give up chocolate or something and then you just gorge yourself on Sundays, it might be harder to give it up that Monday, you know, so I'm just going to do it the entire time.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes during Lent, I will say that I'm going to give up X during the week. And so my intention is that I fast from that thing, whatever it may be, during the week, but I allow myself to enjoy it on the weekends. And you can do it that way if you prefer.
Yeah.
Or you can be hardcore and you can say, I'm going to be hardcore and just this is it. I'm not doing anything. I'm not going to have this at all during those 40 days. And if you really take a cue from our Eastern brethren, so the Eastern Catholics, I'm thinking, for example, of the Byzantine Catholics. Now, this is also true in, at least ostensibly, in the Orthodox world, but check this out. They don't have meat at all of any kind during all of Lent. They call it Great Lent. So no meat for the next 40 days for them. And that would include no eggs, no cheese, no cream, no milk. So because those are meat byproducts, that is included under the heading of no meat. So they basically go vegan, you know, with fish and other things here and there, but it is a very difficult abstention that they go through, and their fasting is more rigorous than ours in the West, and they're certainly abstaining from things is much more rigorous than what we are expected to do in the West. So if ever you feel, you know, kind of a woe is me, just think about our Eastern Catholic friends who are really hardcore when it comes to the fast.
Does that include the Orthodox as well?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We're on Easy Street by comparison.
Yeah, I know. It sounds like it. I got to ask my Orthodox friend if they do that because he's Greek Orthodox. So that'll be interesting.
Now, here's the thing. There's always a difference, Stephanie, between what we're called to do and what we actually do. So the church and their churches too, they prescribe certain fasts and things like that. It doesn't mean that every last Orthodox believer follows it rigorously. Many do. Most do probably. In the same way that there, you'll see some Catholics who just don't really care and they're going to chomp down on a burger or a shredded beef taco on Friday when they shouldn't be doing that during Lent. So we do the best we can. We ask God to help us, right?
Yep, exactly. Cool. Thank you for the Lenten summary.